Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We are now in Yom HaShoah, and it's Parashat Kedoshim. We are being asked by God to be holy people, to sanctify ourselves. ברוך אתה אדוננו אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
אמן. אמן.
So the first question is, what is being holy? What is to sanctify? What is God really asking us to do?
To look into our spiritual side.
So there
are. And our link with
Hashem. Yes. Yes. So there are a few explanations. And because we are in Yom HaShoah, and it's still we have in our life people that survived the Holocaust, and talking about holiness and sanctifying yourself, somebody who went through the Holocaust and kept his tradition and his religion and is still keeping the mitzvahs, it is something to admire. A few days ago, the Admor Mikalib died, and he was one of those who survived the Holocaust, and he was tortured by Mengele, and he couldn't bring children to the world. It's very interesting that after the war, he met his wife, and they together built new life, but all the kids he had were adopted. And he did a lot of things that are connected with the Holocaust that people will remember. By the way, he also wrote an encyclopedia on the Holocaust. And he also was always talking about it. He didn't have any beard, those who know him, because what they did to him. But we have to learn from those people. He's not the only one. It's the Rabbi Miponovich and the Admor Mitzanz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. All those people, they came back from hell and they rebuilt new families, new homes. And they also did an unbelievable thing, which is what we are being asked by God. They sanctified not only themselves, but all the people around them. And they made people to live again, holy life, with Torah and with the spiritual level. And, for example, you look at the Admor Mitzanz, what he did in the Holocaust, the stories, the unbelievable stories. And what he built here in a hospital and all the other things he did. So, what does it say to us? It's an obligation. It's a duty. This is the Jewish nation, and we have to take it. Those people gave their life so we can sit here together and learn Torah, that we will have good life. So we cannot just live life like an animal.
Carry on.
We have to light on the torch of holiness and show the world that being Jewish is something that nobody can just wipe out. And we see what's happening now all around the world with people are starting again with all this anti-Semitism all over the places. Like this guy who goes into a shul and kills and shoots people.
And he
pleaded
not guilty.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He pleaded not guilty.
Well.
So in a day like this, we want to know what God wants from us. And because we are survivors, children of survivors, we have family that survive, and we also survive. We have to show the world that it doesn't matter what's going and what's happening around us.
God is with us.
God is with us. And the proof is that, you know, if you think about Am Israel, going through all those things.
We lasted so long.
And there is no other nation in the world that went through what we went through and
we
still exist.
Yeah.
And we not only exist, we are on top of everybody.
Top of everyone, yeah.
If you look at the whole world and all the invasions, like a few days ago, I read it again about the They think the boycott on the products, boycott on the products from Israel.
BDS.
So they wrote them, you know, we have to stop, if you're doing calculation in the supermarket and everything, you have to start working with the hand things, because all the machines there are an Israeli invention. Talking about medicine, if you find out, a lot of the medicines are an Israeli invention. So you should stop using computers, because the parts from Intel are being produced here in Israel. And you should stop doing how do you say in English? When you come to the shop, and you come to the... The cat.
The
security.
Oh, the
security.
We're talking about
the
scanning.
All those things are Israeli inventions. Mm-hmm. The Nobel Prize, if we look at the percents of Jews in the world, this is unbelievable. So, Baruch Hashem. We have to remember, you know, this is a very interesting spot, because we are now counting Sfirat HaOmer. Sfirat HaOmer is really a counting that is supposed to build ourselves in order to be ready to receive the Torah on Chag Shavuot. And during this time, we have certain mourning behavior because the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. Which is a very strange point. Why? First of all, we are at a happy time. So why should we have mourning? And why on the Talmidim for Rabbi Akiva? If you want to mourn about Talmidei Chachamim, you can mourn the whole year around. What's so special about Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva? There are a lot of other tzaddikim that died through, and if you want to mourn for everybody, you can mourn the whole year around. So, what's the idea? And why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva? And why now? Because in our parasha is written, Ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. This is something we have to put in our mind. To sanctify ourselves, I'm writing about this on Shabbos. Sanctifying ourselves is, what is Kedoshim to you? What is sanctifying? What is being holy? How do we call marriage? Kedoshim. Kedusha. Holiness. So in other words, loving each other is holiness. It's being holy. And that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Ve'ahavta l'racha kamocha ze klal gadol b'torah. That's a basic rule in the Torah. And what did Hillel HaZaken say, which was the rabbi of Rabbi Akiva? What you don't want people to do to you, you don't do to others. And this, says Hillel HaZaken, is the whole Torah. Ve'azil gmor. And all the other you learn. This is unbelievable. And what is the idea of Sfirat HaOmer? Building myself. But there is a problem here. Because we started with the sacrifice of the Omer, which is barley, which is a food of animals. And we proceed through stages till we get to Shavuos, and then we have a korban of two chalot, which are from wheat, which is men's food. So in other words, it's a symbol of us getting out of Egypt, and getting out of the tumah, of the impurity of the Egyptian, of the tumah, of the behavior of animal, and to build ourselves to be human being, to be mensch. Mm-hmm. But when you build yourself, and by the way, the halacha says, and you read this halacha this morning, that when you do Sfirat HaOmer, you have to do your own counting. You cannot listen to somebody else and say Amen, and he's going to count for you.
No.
You didn't count. You have to count by yourself. Why? Because you're building yourself.
Your own step.
But there is a problem here. While we build ourselves, we might forget that it's not only us. We are a part of Am Yisrael. Ve'ahavta l'racha kamocha. This is why we behave a little with mourning on the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that died on Sfirat HaOmer. Why? Because the Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, says, Ve'ahavta l'racha kamocha ze klal gadol b'torah. He says, Et Hashem Elokecha tira, et, he says, et, you should fear your God. He says, "Et lerabot talmidei chachamim." The same way you fear God, you should fear a talmid chacham. Rashi says, if Rabbi Akiva wouldn't write, I couldn't write this thing. How could you compare God to somebody, to a human being? But the idea is that we are being created in the image of God. When you love God, you love human being. If you love human being, you love God. Now, talking about love and building ourselves, and the Talmidim for Akiva dying at that point, and the Gemara says, 12,000 couples of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. Why couples? 12,000 zugot. You can write 24,000 Talmidim died. Why do you say 12,000 couples? Because the problem was with the Chavruta. And who is the Chavruta? The Chavruta is the guy that you learn with, which is your life. Because they said, Chavruta or Mituta. A Talmid Chacham, if he hasn't got somebody to learn with, he prefers to die and not to be in this world. When somebody goes to Ir Miklat, he killed somebody by accident, his Rebbe has to go with him. Why? Because you cannot leave him alone without Torah. So the Rebbe has to go with him. But imagine to yourself that those couples, those two Talmidim from Rabbi Akiva, sitting and learning together, they must love each other. But to get to the level of Rabbi Akiva demands is not easy. And what posed the problem? Lo na'agu kavod ze baze. They didn't honor each other enough. What does it mean?
That's why the word love, what is love? Yes, is not love, is a respect. Is to do. And this that happened, not only kavod, but it's to do for the other, is to give yourself to the other.
That's why one of the explanations is kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lecha. You sanctify yourself with what you're allowed to do. In other words, we're allowed to eat. We're allowed to eat? No problem. We're allowed to buy clothes? No problem. We're allowed to have holidays? No problem. But what is the balance? If you live to eat, and you eat, you know, we've been now through Pesach. Some of us been in a hotel, some of us been at home, but all of us ate. And how much did we eat? And sometimes, if you look at yourself, but this is abusing the who you are. Eating, eating, eating. Somebody showed me a film on Motzei Pesach. In Vizhnitz, the bakery.
Yeah.
They were almost killing each other to take a piece of bread.
Yeah. Like they wouldn't eat.
And if you look at it from the outside, is this sanctifying yourself? So what is God asking us? I'm not asking you to do something unbelievable. I'm asking you that with the things that you're allowed to do, keep them in the right proportion. Yeah. This is to sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself with the things you're allowed to do. Show people that you are a mensch. You're not just running after, okay, so what if you're allowed to do? God doesn't want us to suffer. But he wants us to know why we're in this world. What do we do? And as we said, there is a purpose. And Talmidim from Rabbi Akiva, they knew it all. And believe me, that problem was not going on Motzei Pesach to Vizhnitz. That's not their problem. So what was the problem? What is the Haftarah Racha Kamocha? So imagine you have those two Talmidim sitting and learning. And one of the Talmidim, he's got this chidush. He's got this brilliant idea. And he tells his friend. And his friend is happy, but he would be happier if he would be the one who had this chidush.
Jealous.
And this is like a level, believe me, if we would behave like this, if we would be jealous about our friend that he did a chidush, people get rewarded. because this is the right jealousy. But the level of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, what should I think when my friend that learns with me, he's got this brilliant idea, I should be happy, not only happy, happy at the same level as I
would be
the one who did this chidush. I had this week an interesting idea. Why the Kohanim got this privilege that goes from generation to generation to bless Am Yisrael? You go, I told to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he's got a minion in his house, and everybody wants to be there. And this Rabbi, he was there. And he says when he came to Akat Kohanim, a bar mitzvah boy, 13 years old, gets up, and he is blessing Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who is bowing to hear the blessing. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, a 13-year-old guy. What? Why? What are exactly his
Schut?
For what?
He's a Kohen.
Yeah, I know he's a Kohen, but why? What is he? What is in him?
It's special.
When Moshe Rabbeinu has got the argument with the Kodesh Baruch Hu to go and take Am Yisrael out of Egypt, they're arguing for 7 days. And at the end, we realize that the whole argument is because Moshe Rabbeinu, in his humbleness, he doesn't want to take the mission, not because he doesn't want to do it, because he thinks that his brother deserves it more than him. He is his oldest brother, he is there in Egypt, and he comes from the outside. Why should he do this? The job should be his brother's. And what is God telling him?
I want you to
don't worry. Your brother is going to be happy that you got the job. And not happy from the outside. And God knows this. He says, Vera'acha v'samach v'libo. He will see you and he will be happy, not from the outside, from the inside. Mm-hmm. In other words, he's not only going to accept it that you got the job and he is the big brother. No, he's going to be happy that you got the job. This is love. Love is not only, you know, it was this guy. Every time that they asked him how he's doing, he used to say the opposite thing. If it was bad, he says, wow, unbelievable. If it was unbelievable, he says, oh,
terrible.
One day his friend sees him talking with this guy, and he's telling him that his situation is terrible. So after the word, the guy went, he says, Moishalel, what are you talking about? I know that you had just now did a big business deal, and everything is not only good, it's unbelievable at your house. Why did you tell him that you were in a terrible situation? He said, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. If I'm happy, I want everybody to be happy. If I'm sad, I want everybody to be sad. So, I realize that if I'm happy and I tell people that I'm happy, they're sad. If I am sad, and I'm telling people that I'm sad, they're happy. So what do I do? Oh, when I've got it bad, I tell them, wow, unbelievable. So everybody is sad, like I'm sad. When I've got it terrible, I says, wow, I had so good things going on for me. So everybody's sad because they're jealous. Says, and this unfortunately, how true it is. It's very easy for us to help somebody that has got problems and is in troubles. But if somebody is very successful, how do we feel about this? Are we really happy for him? Or why isn't me?
I'm happy for him.
And this is Vahavta Racha Kamocha. When you love somebody, you don't do only what you have to do, you do more than you have to do. Because you love him. And that's what God wants us. To sanctify ourselves is to show God that we love him. To sanctify ourselves is to love our brothers. You know, I'm writing on this old one, Shabbos. Unbelievable. I checked it. A few weeks ago I've been in Netanya, and the rabbi there in the shul, he gave a lecture, and one of the things he said, unbelievable. He got stuck with a car on Motzei Shabbos, supposed to take his girls back home from the Tachana Merkazit in Netanya. They came from Jerusalem home. Unfortunately, the car doesn't start. And he was dealing with it, and then his two daughters came by themselves home, and he left. He said, I'm going to deal with it in the morning. In the morning, he comes, the car still doesn't start. And then remember, somebody told him there is an organization that is called Yedidim. Friends. And they come and help you. If you're stuck. He finds the phone, he phones the guy, in half an hour or something, the guy comes, checks the car, starts it. He was waiting for the catch, you know. Money, you know. Nobody does things for nothing. And the guy just telling all the best goes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. People, volunteers.
What's the number of the organization?
I'm writing about this on Shabbos, and you can see it in I didn't write the phone number, but you have all the details, and you can just see, like they write, they are coming to everybody 24 hours a day.
In any place.
Any place. Anything that happens, you phone them. They are volunteers all over the country. Yeah. They get the call, you phone the number. He asked who is free and who can get to you. And they get to you, they help you. No charge, no nothing. Just people that volunteer to help you. This is sanctifying yourself. This is ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha.
Yedidim.
Yedidim. You look at it in Google, you find it.
But someone told me also about this.
Tell you the truth, the first thing I did, I donated for the money. Because this is something that is really unbelievable. Now, there are people like us that have a car, have knowledge in certain fields,
and they
volunteer, and this guy phones who is free, and they just go out of their home and to help people. For nothing.
No, for the mitzvah.
Yes.
Like Sahala.
This is.
Yeah,
this is Vahavta Levacha Kamocha.
Atzala.
And this is Am Israel. That's Am Israel. That's the beauty of Am Israel. At the end of the day, you know, we look at all the bad things, but they are good things. And this is the way we should look at things. And when we're in a day like this, like the Holocaust Day, Yom HaShoah, we have to remember who we are. And if we want to sanctify those who died, who give their life, who died on Kiddush Hashem, Kedoshim to you, V'itkadeshtem V'item Kedoshim, didn't do it for nothing. They did it for us. They did it because they were Jewish. They were killed only because of one reason. They were Jewish.
I was angry. Today I was hearing Hadashot in radio, and the interviewer, all of the survivor, an old woman, that I only is a little piece of in the interview, that she said, what is the reason that once a year they make the homenage in the day of Holocaust? I suffer all year long. I haven't what to eat. I am sitting alone at home. I don't have anything, and nobody cares about me. And once a year they go there and make ceremonies and this for the survivors. And I felt so, you know, they suffer all the year. They are poor, very poor, who didn't build a family.
It's like I'll always remember a few years ago, I've been in an exhibition. I was showing an exhibition, the furniture, and there was somebody in front of me that was showing carpets or things like this. And we were talking, and he says that his father, he hates two things.
Jews.
No. He hates the God, and he hates the poems.
What?
The Polish. Polish, how do you say it?
Polish.
The Poles.
Polish.
The what?
Polish.
The Polish people. The Polish people.
Polish. Polish.
And he says, why does he hate God? Why does he hate God? Because he's a Holocaust survivor, and what God did in the Holocaust, so I was thinking to myself.
Different reactions. Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking to myself, first of all, if he says he hates God, means that he...
He's not happy. He's
he
not
believes
happy.
In God. First of all, he believes in God. Because if you don't believe in God, you don't blame God in nothing. So first of all, if you blame God, means you believe in God, which is already a start. Now, he was hating all the religious people. Didn't matter if it was, I was starting to talk about Hester. He hated the Hester. Says they used the army. Instead of doing the whole full 3 years, they do only 1.5 years. And I didn't want to argue with him because when you look today at the army, most of the people that do the jobs are religious.
Yes!
Are religious. I didn't want, because you know, in a situation like this, it's not the right thing. It's not something to argue about. But you see, I always remember this story. I don't know what it was. I think it was the Rav Shach, or somebody came to him and asked him for a blessing for kids or whatever. So he told him, "You go to shul. You see at the end, sit on the side. There is somebody when he is going to light tefillin. You look. He's got a number on his arm." He is a Holocaust survivor. You ask him to bless you. His blessing is much better than my blessing. Because if somebody went through the Holocaust and still keeps the mitzvahs, this guy is a tzaddik. And really, this is the way we have to look at those people. We cannot judge them.
No.
Doesn't matter what they do today. We cannot judge people like this. And if somebody... On top of this, he's still keeping all the mitzvahs. This is, he said, and I told it once in shul, and the father of Chezi, Golden of Chezi, he also died this year. He was also a Holocaust survivor, which has a number on his arm. And he loved the story I told. And every time that I was coming, he was reminding me the story about this, Unfortunately, they are getting fewer and fewer every year. And the thing is that we should not forget. We live in a world that is so full with whatever you want, there was never ever a time like this that you've got so much things around you. You can get everything, anything. It's so easy today to do things. And we live so, like, materialistic life that we forget sometimes who we are. And this is Sfirat HaOmer. That's the Sfirat HaOmer.
I read a story about a young man who became a Baal Teshuva. And he went to go to the mikveh, and he got undressed, and he realized he's got a tattoo on his arm. And there was an older man that came over to him, and he said, "Come, we'll go into the mikveh together. I also have a tattoo." It was a number.
So we will end this year with what we said is the basic of everything, and it starts people. Unfortunately, they just look at Vahavta L'Racha Kamocha and then don't look what comes before. Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. This is pasuk.
You have to change over.
Yeah. Pasuk, what is this pasuk?
Yud Zayin.
Pasuk Yud Zayin in Perek. What Perek is this?
17.
That's
12,
no?
Oh.
I should not write that
brother.
What is written
in
the
Perek?
Perek
is not written here?
Yeah, there is.
Perek Yotet. I should not write that. Yes.
Yotet
Yud Zayin. Lotisna. You've got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Lotisna et achicha bilvavecha. You should not hate your brother in your heart. Ochiach tochiach, you should rebuke him. Lo tisa alav chet. You shouldn't carry on him a sin. Lo tikom ve lo titor et bnei amcha ve'ahavta lecha kamocha ani Hashem. We have to understand this is built in this way because it all leads to ve'ahavta lecha kamocha. So how does it start? You should not hate your fellow brother, your brother in your heart. What does it mean? Sometimes we see something and we don't talk about it and we hate this guy because of what he did in our heart. Like on the outside, yeah, ha shalom, 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 but we really not exactly love him.
Politician.
So the Torah is telling us you should not do this. Why shouldn't you do this? Because first of all, it's not allowed, but then you have to understand. Sometimes you see things and you think that you know what you saw, but you don't know. That's why what is written later, Tocheach, tocheach et amitecha. You should rebuke him. What is rebuke? You're not shouting at him. You just come and ask him. You know, you did this thing and this is not right. And then, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, you can find a few things. First of all, maybe what you saw and you thought that is a sin, and because of this you hate this guy, is not a sin at all. True. For example, something very trivial, like somebody, you see somebody driving on Shabbos. Mechalel Shabbos. But the real truth is, he's driving to hospital. No, he's driving to hospital, and you don't know it. Mikuach nefesh.
Marit Ayin.
But there is no Marit Ayin Pikuach Nefesh. But you think, you see it, and you think, wow,
yeah.
What a sinner. You don't know. You see somebody eating something that you're not allowed to eat. Because the doctor told him, and he has to eat it. There are a lot of things in life that we see. Somebody didn't invite, or like a stupid thing. You were not invited to a wedding, or to a bar mitzvah, or to a brit, or whatever. And you automatically hate this guy. Well, I invite him to all my function. This is a friend, he doesn't invite me. And what do you find later on? He forgot. It happens. Something happened, he forgot. You know, I had one of my weddings, I told you.
How many weddings have you had?
Not mine, my son.
Okay.
And we invited one of my friends, and he comes to me in the beginning, in the reception, he cannot find where he sits. And I didn't know, how can it be? And I look and I say, I forgot to put him on a table. See, I didn't forget to invite him, but I forgot to put him on a table.
Yeah.
Now, this is a very strange situation,
yeah,
because it happened to me once, and I just wanted to leave. And if I wouldn't meet my friend when I went out, I said, where are you going? He says, no, that's all. And he looked, and then I understood, and he said, here, you sit there. Sometimes it happens, you know. I just now went to a function, a wedding of a friend, and they did a whole balagan with the
seats.
Places, with the seats. And the beginning, they told everybody, don't worry, everybody's got a seat because they did something. They closed today, everything is through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't finish putting people on the tables, and they closed the internet site. So they couldn't put the people on the tables.
Oy.
So people came, they've got no tables. And this guy is sitting with with writing names on a
paper.
And like,
a hard copy.
We don't think about those things. We come, oh, I'm not here. Okay, I'm going home. You're insulted. You don't know. And you have to talk. Because when you talk with somebody, when we connect, you can find out, or maybe sometimes he did a mistake. Sometimes even if you saw something and really did it wrong. So he's going to fix it. But the thing is, you have to do it in a proper way. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Ochach chacham v'yoaveka, al tochach letz v'yisna'eka. You should rebuke a clever guy and he will love you, but you should not rebuke a joker, or whatever you call it.
A clown,
because he's going to hate you. Now, people think that we're talking about two different people. No, we're talking about the approach. When you want to rebuke somebody, you make him clever. You make him, wow, you are a good person, you are a tzaddik. But you see this and that. Then he's going to love you. Because first of all, you complimented him. You look at him and you honor, give him his honor. And then you sell him, by the way, that you think that he did something wrong.
First you pray.
But when you come to him, and you know, you have those people. What did you do? Like you make him a clown. He's a terrible guy. So what do you think he's going to do? He's going to listen to you? I don't know who told it to me. Once there were people talking in the back of the shul, so he came and told them to stop talking, and they just took a thumb out. To him.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so terrible.
But this guy was wrong.
Who?
They were wrong, of course, but the guy was also wrong, because you don't come to people and insult them.
But he insulted him?
No.
What do you think he said he did?
Maybe
no, you don't see that. Sometimes you see, I don't want to give names. Sometimes you see people shouting on other people for no reason sometimes, or for a reason. And it doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
And sometimes you row in the middle of shul with somebody.
Yeah.
This is the idea of sanctifying ourselves. It's not the easy way out.
Yeah.
We have to think about things we do, how we behave with people. So, if we talk this guy, we will not hate him in our heart, because we took it out, we talked with him, and it's going to be an effect, this way or another way. You should not carry his sin, because if you don't do this, he doesn't know he did something wrong. And if he doesn't know he did something wrong, you are the wrong one. Of course, okay, everything in the right proportion. See, because I don't want to go into more details, but you have to understand the idea. And then, loti kom velotito. What is loti kom velotito? Yes, you know, somebody, you ask him for something, ask him for milk. I've got no milk. He's got the fridge filled with 200 bottles of milk. But he doesn't want to give it to you. The next day, he finished the milk. I don't know how. Spilled, whatever. He comes to, can I have a glass of milk? No. You didn't want to give me. I'm not going to give you. This is linkom.
Linkom.
To revenge. Revenge. Now there is litor. I don't know how you say litor in English. Nekama. How do you say netira in English? I don't know. Is there a word like this?
Netira?
Netira.
Netira.
Let's explain what it is. This guy, I asked for milk, didn't give me. Now he comes to ask me for milk. I give him the glass of milk, but I says, you know, you see, I'm not like you. You didn't want to give me milk. I am giving it to you. Wow. This is netira. This is also not allowed to do.
Words.
Bragging.
So.
Yeah, that's insulting you. It's not.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you see, then when you behave like this, you get to the level of ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. And ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha is hatis ilal azaken said, mashes sanui alecha. Al ta'aseh lechaverecha.
To bear a grudge.
Yes.
To bear a grudge. But you mistreat people as you would like them to
exactly.
treat you.
And this is
and you've got to think about that.
This is sanctifying yourself.
For the other side, we read in the Parshat Tzara.
Metzorah.
When it happens in the house, what they do, think everything out. Why?
This is also connected to this.
Because
this guy who didn't give you the tool you wanted,
that's
suddenly
right.
you found out you wanted the drill. It's
wow.
got three drills.
That's right.
You wanted the hammer. It's got a dozen hammers.
And
everybody sees that he's got everything.
That's right. And he didn't want blame.
So to sanctify ourselves is love each other.
That's right.
When we do this, we get to all the good stuff. And there's
Bezrat
Hashem.
A bottle of milk.
Yes. It's also good.
Yes. Go ahead.